We'll begin in Proverbs chapter 13 today. Proverbs chapter 13. I've been teaching about the harvest lately. Have you been enjoying it?
Yes.
Well, I believe we've got some harvesters in there. I had a good harvest. I had a good testimony this week. We've just been having some slow months at work, and I've been praying. Terry and I agreed and took communion and bound and loosed and spoke and
Amen.
Confessed and shouted, and I'm telling you, I had some breakthrough. Good sales broke through this week, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. So we're thankful for it. So, as I'm teaching you guys, I'm living it out myself and learning how to be a harvester. And it means not giving up, not quitting, like we sang about a while ago. You're never going to let me down.
That's right.
Never going to let me down. That's who He is. He's faithful. Yes. Listen, saints, many times we quit too soon. We say, well, I tried the Word. No. The Word tried you. See, the Bible gives us promises, and if we hold to that promise for a while, but then we let go, we say, I tried the Word. Well, you didn't hold long enough to see it through to fruition. The Word is true. God cannot lie. What He says is true. If you hold fast.
Amen.
Amen. To the end. To the end. Amen. So many times we let go too soon. But look at Proverbs chapter 13. We're talking about the harvest. I'm going to give you four steps to help you with your harvest. Four just kind of easy bullet points to help you lay hold of the harvest that God has for you in your life. Amen? Real practical stuff here. Proverbs 13:19. We'll start there. A longing fulfilled is sweet to the soul, but fools detest turning from evil. That's in the New International Version. I want to read it to you in the God's Word translation. It's really good in that translation. I have it here. Give me one sec. Proverbs 13:19. And I love my Bible app. How many of you use the Bible app on your iPhone? Isn't that a great app? They even got a kids version. If you have kids or grandkids lurking around the house, you can pull up the kids version of that, and they can watch cartoons and learn about Jesus right on your phone. Isn't that great? So, praise the Lord. Come on up. Technology. Work. It's working. I want to read this to you in this translation. It's really good. Proverbs 13:19. Here we go. I don't have a joke to tell you in this moment, but it's coming. A lot of preachers do. Proverbs 13:19. Here we go. Proverbs 13:19 in the God's Word translation. A fulfilled desire is sweet to the soul, but turning from evil is disgusting to fools. Okay, so the first part is what we're focused on. A fulfilled desire is sweet to the soul. Let me tell you something. Your harvest will be sweet to your soul. The harvest that Jesus has for you, whether it's healing, whether it's peace, whether it's financial breakthrough, whatever it is you're leaning on the Lord for in the way of promises, as you wait upon the Lord and as you trust Him and as you press in, when that harvest finally gets there, oh, man, it's like a donut. I mean, it's good. It's sweet to the soul. I told Terry yesterday, we were talking on the phone. She said, where are you? I said, well, I just stopped in the donut shop. I said, I got to have a donut to help make my commute to Houston sweet. So I grabbed a donut on the way into Houston yesterday, so I'm using that as my illustration for this verse. Proverbs 13:19. If we were talking in the Scott translation, is desire fulfilled is like a donut, okay, on the way to your trip, on the ride. It's sweet to the soul. And let me tell you something. There's something wonderful about us breaking through into the victory that we've been believing God for so long. Listen, we give up way too soon. We miss so many harvests in our life. And it's all because we just didn't hang in there. We just did not hang in there. And again, we often walk away and say, well, I tried that. How many of you have met Christians that said, I tried church, or I tried God, or I tried the Word, or I tried that faith thing, right? Listen, as I said earlier, you didn't try it, it tried you. The Word of the Lord is flawless. And it's like it's like an element greater than electricity, okay? And it takes some handling. And if you mishandle it, you know, how many of you would get shocked one time and go, oh, well, I tried electricity. Never going to use that again. Not in Houston, you don't say that, right? Got to have it for the air. So the Word of the Lord is powerful, but we have to know how to handle it. And we have to press through to the end, so that we can taste what Proverbs 13:19 is talking about here. The harvest, the desire fulfilled, is sweet to the soul. It's wonderful. And God has that for you. He wants that for you. But it's not just going to fall on your head, especially if you've been in the Lord for a while. How many of you know? It seems like the longer you've been in the Lord, the longer it takes sometimes for your harvest. I don't know why that is. Maybe God's just, you know, allowing our patience muscles to grow, whatever. It seems like a baby Christian, they can hiccup and they get healed. I mean, they just, you know, it doesn't take any time at all for their faith to generate what they're believing God for. But if you've been in the Lord for a while, you often find that your harvest just doesn't drop on you overnight. Now, sometimes it does. I mean, I don't understand that completely every aspect of the law of the harvest. It is supernatural, but sometimes it feels like it takes a while. Right, Judy? Okay. It may take some time. Now, here's some four points real quick to help you with your harvest. Number one, if you're taking notes, consider the power of the seed. Consider the power of the seed. Hebrews 4:12. Many of you know this verse by heart, but I want to read it so it's in front of your eyes. Hebrews 4:12. The power, it's talking about the power of the seed. I know many of you can quote it, but you know, it's good for us, even if we've been in the Lord a while, not to just say, oh, I know it, got it. I could say that one in my sleep. Don't do that. Because this book is so powerful. The seed that I'm talking about in this moment, in my message, is so powerful. It's so alive that no matter, it's like a glittering diamond. No matter how you hold it up to the light, every time you move it, at the least bit, there's a new facet that comes shining through. And that's the way the Word of God is. We should never get so familiar, never so comfortable with this seed that I'm speaking of right now that we go, I know that verse. I can quote it. Hebrews 4:12. Look at it with me. For the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. The Word of God. The Word of God. Now, as I was reading this, I'm actually practicing what I'm telling you to do. What I just said a moment ago about don't get familiar with the Word. I did that yesterday because I thought, what's a good verse that talks about the power of the seed? Oh, Hebrews 4:12. I started to write down. I thought, no, look at it. Look at it. So I opened my Bible, and I actually got to looking at it, and I thought, okay. And I saw something that I'd never seen before, and that is this. In the context of this chapter, the writer is talking about the Israelis. If you read the first part of Hebrews chapter 4, he's talking about the people of Israel back during the time when they left Egypt and they were in the desert, okay? And God was speaking to them. And he's talking in context, he's talking about the word that God gave Israel in those days. So here's what I want to bring out. The word of God, the seed, when I say consider the power of the seed, this word, this very verse in Hebrews 4:12 is referring back to something happening about 1,500 years before. And what he's saying is that what happened 1,500 years ago and what God said about what happened 15 years ago is so powerful that even 1,500 years later, it's sharp. Okay? How many of you got a 1,500-year-old knife that's still got an edge to it? Okay? That's the Word of God. And so 1,500 years later, the writer of Hebrews is writing about the people of Israel a long, 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 long time ago. And he's saying the word that God spoke to them then is still alive today. And it hasn't lost any of its edge. That's how sharp the seed is. That's how powerful the seed is. So when we're talking about the harvest, we say, well, what does the seed have to do with the harvest? Well, that's where the harvest begins. It begins with the Word of God. If you need peace in your life, what do? You go to a concordance, you find five verses on peace, and you write them in your spiral, or you write them in the back of your Bible, and you read them. You take them like medicine three times a day. Hey, we'll take medicine faithfully. The doctor says, take this three times a day till I see you next week. We do that. Why won't we take the Word of God like medicine? It is like medicine. So we take the Word of God three times a day or however oftentimes the Holy Spirit prompts you. It's a seed that you're planting in your heart. It's a seed. It goes in your heart. Every time you hear that verse, every time you read that verse, it's powerful. And it has the power to produce. This is something, well, I'm going to get to in a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. But I want you to see that in Hebrews 4:12. It's powerful. And it never loses its edge. One other verse in the New Testament about the Word of God, 1 Peter 1. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1. About the seed, the power of the seed. 1 Peter 1:12. This is why you can pick up a teaching CD of an anointed preacher who preached a sermon 30 years ago, or you can go onto YouTube and watch Kenneth Hagin or this person or that person from 30, 40, 50 years ago, and they got a video clip of them up on there. If it was anointed word then, it's anointed word now. I'm amazed. I have CDs. One of my favorite preachers, I buy his CDs quite often in the mail, and I'll stick it in, and I'll realize, okay, he preached this sermon by what he's saying in the introduction or this or that comment about what was going on in the world at that time. I could tell, okay, this sermon was probably recorded about the year 2004 or 2003 or 2011. You know, that feels like ancient history to us because we're such a fast-paced world, right? But I'll stick that CD in, and it never fails. I'm amazed that word that's on that CD from 10, 15, 20 years, or just 2 years ago, it can be right what I need
that's
to hear
right.
today,
right.
in this moment, in my life, in my personal heart. How did God do that? It's the anointed, powerful seed of the Word of God that
Amen.
Never loses its edge and is alive and powerful. You know, if you took the Bible, I know you're in 1 Peter 1, we're going to read it in a minute. You took the Bible and you placed it under a microscope. You would see life. If there was a microscope that could show us what's really in these words that we call the Bible, if we could look with a spiritual microscope, let me put it that way, a spiritual microscope that could show us what we're holding in our hands, we would see, like, you know, if you've ever examined life under a microscope, it's moving, it's wriggling,
yes.
it's energetic, right? It's not just laying lethargic. This book is full of life.
Amen.
In fact, you read other books, the Bible reads you. The Bible reads you. And that's why I said when I popped in sermon CDs from years ago and they were anointed messages, that word that they preached was so full of life then, that life is continuing to this day. It's not died. It's not died. It's alive. It's the Word of God. It's the Word of God. 1 Peter 1. 1 Peter 1, 17. Am I getting an amen over there?
Yeah.
Sounds like it. Since you call on a Father who judges each man's work impartially, live your lives as strangers here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your forefathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus, amen, a lamb without blemish or defect. Verse 20, he was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for your brothers, love one another deeply from the heart. And here's the part I want to get to right here, verse 23. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and enduring Word of God. For all men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord stands forever.
Amen.
And this is the word that was preached to you, the word of the Lord. And another translation says, instead of imperishable, it says incorruptible. Incorruptible. You know, I deal in pianos. We sell pianos at my store that are made in New York, and they're called Steinways. Many of you have heard of Steinways. It costs a lot of money, okay? Take a year to build. And they're really fascinating in this, that they can be rebuilt about once every 80 to 100 years. You can put new strings, new parts in them, and they just go again and again. We don't know yet, because the company's less than 200 years old, how many times could you do that? My prediction is these pianos could last 400 to 1,000 years. And that's just crazy. I mean, think of how many things you buy in your lifetime that will last 100 years, okay? I mean, maybe grandpa's old shotgun sit in the closet, you know, it's 80-year-old, you know, 100-year-old shotgun. And guns last a while, but I mean, it's just really fascinating. Every day I go to work, I discover something new about this instrument. I'm going, wow, that's just amazing. I mean, they found in China artifacts that are made out of cast iron, and in pianos, you know, that big gold harp, that's made of cast iron. As long as that harp stays intact, we can rebuild the piano over and over and over again. If that harp ever cracks, then it's toast. But they found artifacts that are 2,500 years old, made out of cast iron. So I know it will last. I use that as an example to say this. In life, it's hard for us to imagine things sometimes that last and last and last like that, because our lifespan is about 100 years, right? Let's face it. I mean, not many of us go much beyond 100, if that. And so in our minds as humans, we tend to think, well, a long time, 80, 100 years. And God says here in 1 Peter, he says, this is an imperishable word. The word of the Lord will last forever. Forever. Listen, if Jesus doesn't come in the next 100 years, sermons that have been preached this year and last year and 20 years ago and 50 years ago, and if they're on some sort of recording and people listened to them 100 years ago and there was life then when they were preached, there'll still be life to the
yes.
listener. Amen? Because it's the word of the Lord that lasts forever and ever. One of the greatest investments you can make in your life and in your family and in your own heart is the word of God. This book right here, the Bible.
Yeah.
Memorize it. Read it. Soak your mind in it. Why? Because it's an imperishable seed. It will never perish. It is incorruptible. And so when talk about the harvest, I want you to see that this the harvest begins with a seed, a thing we call the seed, a Bible verse. One Bible verse is a powerful seed that has the ability to germinate and bear fruit in your life that will last your lifetime and more. Amen?
Amen.
That is the power of the seed. No, I need to get on to point two. Point number two in your harvest. One other thing I want to say about the seed. Jimmy Evans said Wednesday night in our session here. On Wednesday nights, we're doing a series called Marriage on the Rock here. If you haven't caught any of it, come. The next couple Wednesday nights, it's going to be good. We still got a few videos to watch. It's about 30 minutes long. It'll bless your marriage. But he made this comment this past Wednesday. He said, the Word of God has literally transformed my wife. He said, my wife came into this marriage with terrible, terrible self-esteem. But one thing she did every day, she started off her day in the Bible, reading the Bible. And he said, over the years, the Word of God has literally transformed my wife. That's the power of the seed, bunny. It's the power of the Word of God. All right, point number two. We got to roll along. The other point I want to help you with in your harvest is look at the unflawed record. The unflawed record. For this verse, for this point, we're going to turn to Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. This is Joshua at the end of his life. This is the same guy that knocked the wall, you know, was instrumental. He didn't knock him down, but he was instrumental in the walls of Jericho falling. Famous story of Joshua and the walls of Jericho. This is Joshua at the end of his life, and this is the comment he makes about the Word of God. Joshua chapter 23, verse 14. Are you there? Almost? Getting there? Okay, here we go. Joshua 23, 14. Now I am about to go the way of all the earth. You know with all your heart and soul that not one of all the good promises the Lord your God gave you has failed. Every promise has been fulfilled. Not one has failed.
Amen.
That was Joshua's statement to the whole nation of Israel. He said, every promise that this God that we've been following across the desert for 40 years, this God that we've been listening to and seen do miracles time and time again, this God who made every promise to us, not one of them has failed. He's got a flawless record. He's a flawless promise keeper. Amen? And even Solomon, years later, when Solomon was dedicating the temple, he echoed this same statement that Joshua made here. He said, not one of every promise God ever made to the nation of Israel has failed to this day.
Amen.
Every promise has been fulfilled.
Amen. Glory. That's good.
Now, I got to tell you, saints, we got some catching up to do. Because we got a generation or two, we got years looking back here in which Christianity has been rocked. You know, people have been taught about healing, and maybe they had an experience, and someone they knew didn't quite get the healing that they were believing God for. And so it rocked their world. And a lot of Christians walk away from an experience like that and say, well, maybe I just had it wrong. And they start to let go of the promise of healing. Or they start to let go of the seed, the imperishable seed of the Word of God that promises healing to us. Saints, we got to press in and press in and press in and say we're not going to let anything shake us because we serve an unshakable God who has made promise after promise after promise and not one of them has ever failed.
Amen.
He is a promise-keeping God and we're going to stick to Him. Let every man be a liar, let God be true.
Amen.
That what that means is don't give me an example to say, well, someone said believe God and they died. Don't give me that example. Because you don't know all the facts and I don't know all the facts. We'll never know everything on this side of glory.
Amen.
And that's okay. We press into the Word and we say we're going to trust Him no matter what. Amen?
Amen.
He is a flawless God. He's got a flawless record. Praise the Lord. We've mentioned this verse to you before. I don't have time to turn there. Hebrews 4:14. It says, consider the high priest of our confession or profession. Some of the translations say the high priest of our profession or the high priest. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. And in the Greek, that word confession or profession means this. It's a Greek word. It says this, homologeo. Now, I know you don't know Greek. I don't either. What bits and pieces I pick up out of this concordance that I study with. Homologeo. Now, we understand the word homo, like homogenized milk and other things. Homo means the same. Logeo in the Greek language means the word. Logos, the word. Okay? So the word homologeo, when it says in Hebrews 4:14, it says, consider the high priest of our confession or our profession. In other words, what we say. It is telling us in Hebrews 4 to do this. Say the same thing Jesus said. Say the same thing Jesus says. So when we talk about this flawless God who keeps every promise, what we're to do, what we're called to do in bringing our harvest about is to look at what he says about the situation and say the same thing about it he does. In other words, we align ourselves with his words, the high priest of our confession. And so if he says, by my stripes you were healed, then I look and I say, my body's bleeding. I got blood, you know, bursting through my shirt. I go, no, this is the truth.
Yes.
Okay, I see the blood, but I'm holding to this. Mm-hmm. I say the same thing he does. By his stripes I was healed. Okay? And I'm not. That's not a denial of what is in the physical realm. It's saying this is a higher truth.
Yes, it is.
Okay? You can read me the facts. You can go into the hospital and doctors say, you have this disease or that disease and you got 60 days to live. Well, that may be the medical facts, but the truth is what Jesus says.
Amen.
And what we're to say is to align our words with what Jesus says. Amen? And his words are flawless. His promises are true. They always come to pass if we hold fast to them. So it's about alignment. Alignment. Point number three, to get you to your harvest. Consider this. The Word of God is our weapon. The Word of God is our weapon. The Word is a sharp sword. Revelation 19. Revelation 19. You with me?
Yes.
I know you know some of these things, but just be refreshed, be reminded. That's why we come to church. We don't come to church to hear something new every week. Okay? All right? I'm always amazed that professional athletes need a coach. Are you kidding me? Michael Jordan needs a coach? These guys that are so gifted and talented, they can fly through the air practically, like they got wings. They need a coach? What do you need a coach for? What does a coach do? It reminds you of the basics. It reminds you of what you already know. I mean, those guys need reminding, right? So we need reminding from the Word of God. Amen. You don't come to church necessarily. I'm not like this great oracle that stands up and every week you go, wow, I never knew that. I mean, some weeks you hear something you hadn't heard of. That's true. But it's a reminder. Amen. So be teachable. That's what I'm saying. Amen. Be teachable. Let the Word of God remind you. Revelation 19:11. In your Bible, if you have a heading above this set of verses, it says something along this line, the rider on the white horse, right? You got that? Are you reading it? What are you reading? A comic book there, Chris? What do you got? The rider on the white horse. Are you with me? Okay.
Yeah.
Verse 11. I see heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one knows but he himself. He's dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen. That's us, you and I. White and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter, for he treads the winepress of the fury and of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh he has the name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords.
Amen.
When we say that the Word of God is sharp, in the Greek it actually, there's a verse that I don't remember where I got this, but anyways, that sharp sword, when it talks about sharp, in the Greek language, if you study it out, it has to do with swift. And I got to thinking about it, I thought about, knives that have a good edge, you can cut something quick with them. They get right to the point, right? Terry just got a new set of kitchen knives recently. And, when we started off our married life, we had some great gifts at her wedding shower. I mean, some people gave us some amazing things. We were like young kids, you know, and we just had nothing except love, true love.
Amen.
And we started life with nothing materially, but we got some great gifts. But over the years, I mean, we kept the same set of knives, and I'm not like a woodsman, so I'm not the kind of guy that just, you know, sharp minds. Over the years, those knives eventually, they got dull. Amazing. And so for years, she just cut things with these old kitchen knives that she'd had forever. And then just recently, she got these new knives, and I mean, they're like, you know, when we do the dishes, it's like, you got to watch it. You put them over here in the drying rack, and you got to put up red flags like, the knives are in there. Watch it, you know? I mean, they're that sharp. And this is the way the Word of God is. The Word of God in Jesus' mouth in Revelation 19, it says, it's a sharp sword. In other words, it gets right to the point. It takes notes. It doesn't have a dull edge. It gets right. It does what it's intended to do, Lee. And that's the way the Word of God is. And this is the thing that I think the Holy Spirit is really wanting to remind us of at this moment. And this could have been my whole sermon, really. But, you know, what preacher's just going to have one point in his sermon? I mean, come on. We're really good about believing in our heart. Romans 10:9-10 says, if you believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus. You know, that's how we got saved. Mm-hmm. And so we read the Bible. Bunny, we study the Bible. We think about the Bible. And we put a lot in here. We put a lot in our heart. And where the enemy has figured out how he can trick us and trump us many times is this. Hey, those people, yeah, they got this amazing sword in their sheath, but they rarely ever pull it out. Okay? You know what I'm saying? If you believe in your heart, but you don't do the second part, you, in effect, don't have a weapon.
That's right.
Listen, if a policeman walked in here at this moment, had an M16 slug, what do they call it?
Yeah, right.
The rifle thing. The black rifles, they have a name for them.
M16.
Well, yeah, it's an M16, but they call them, what do they call them? Assault rifles.
Oh.
Yeah, assault rifle. If he had an assault rifle slung over his shoulder and a Glock in his holster and a knife down in his, you know, leg sheath, and then some guy, you know, boisterous guy came in here all belligerent and started, you know, acting up and just needed restraining, and that cop did nothing or pulled out nothing to stop him, we'd say, hey, where's the justice, right? He's got all this weaponry, he's got all this armament, and he's ready to go, you know, to bring justice to a situation, but he's not doing anything. And many times in our lives as Christians, that's where we're at. We've got the word of God sown in our heart. We've got that imperishable seed in our heart, but we're not confessing with our mouth. You notice in Revelation 19, he out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. It didn't stay there. It came out his mouth, and that's when it was effective. Listen, saints, you have a weapon. It's called the word of God. You have it. We have a book here on our book table. You've got it. You've already got it, so quit trying to get it. It's a great book if you haven't read it. You've already got it. But you have it. But many times we don't swing it. There's a funny story, and I was hoping Jim would be here today. I'm sorry he's out. That's why I'm recording for you, Jim. Jim and Jonesy, years ago, they were in this restaurant, and for years he told this story. It was just hilarious. And he said they were in this restaurant, and this, you know, this table across the restaurant, I think it was the Black Eyed Pea over in Clear Lake back in the day. I don't even know if Black Eyed Pea is still around. But they're at the Black Eyed Pea, and this family's way over here across the restaurant, and they got this little two-year-old, you know, taller kid, like ages 2 to 4, the wild years, okay? And this toddler's over there just banging on the table with a spoon, screaming, crying, making all kinds of just ruckus. And the whole restaurant's aware. I mean, they know the table where the kid is at. Jim said at one point, the kid's just banging, 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 and somehow he caught his own finger in the line of fire. And he whacked that finger with the spoon as hard as he was flailing. And Jim said you could almost feel it in the crowd, almost this sense of, yay! You know, just this hurrah rattling the roofs, you know, because he finally, justice was served. You know, the end to the evil. Okay. Well, those of you that have raised kids, you know what I'm saying. Yeah. Brats are always everybody else's kids, right? I mean, they have brats, you have children, okay? Anyways, I love that story. Jim told it for years. He was just so thrilled that the kid finally whacked his own hand. But here's the point. The point is you have a sword. You have a mighty weapon. When the devil sees that weapon in your mouth, it looks the same as what we read in Revelation 19. It's the same sword. It's the same sword at which the Bible says at the end of times, Jesus will smite the nations with the sword of his mouth. That is the same weapon. And the devil fears it. And he knows it. But again, he laughs. He knows that many Christians have it here, but they won't speak it here. If you won't confess it out of your mouth, it does no good. In effect, it's as if you don't have it. Speak it, saints. I implore you today to leave here today, and I'm trying to stimulate your harvest. I'm trying to get you to get your harvest going, Bunny. Speak the word.
Amen.
Don't just have it here in your heart. Yes, it's good. Starting point number one, believe in your heart. Second point, speak with your mouth.
Amen.
Confess with your mouth. And I know it sounds redundant, and I know that most of the time when we're speaking the promises of God, it feels as if we're speaking into the void of blackness, and nothing's happening. Ever done that? That's what I meant earlier when I said, you said you tried the word, but the word really tried you. Because if you quit in those moments, that's when the seed's being watered, when you're speaking and nothing's happening, buddy. You see no change. In fact, the symptoms get worse. You ever noticed in the Bible that when Jesus was curing people that had demons, many times they one last hurrah. The devil just had to, you know, threw them on the ground and they foamed at the mouth one last time, or they shrieked. The Bible said they would shriek. And then they would come out, just like the devil. I'll tell you a secret, saints, since we're talking strategy here. I know, you know, I've mentioned the strategy he has on us. I want to give you a strategy on him. The devil will oftentimes rattle the building hardest right before he's about to exit.
That's true.
So don't give up.
Amen.
And that's many times why we give up our harvest. Oh, it's really bad now. I quit. We walk away. No, I'm telling you. Stick it out.
Amen.
Stick it out. And that's point number four. I'm going to reach my goal. Jesus. Oh. already passed. I passed it. Sorry. Point number four. Don't quit. Don't quit. All right. Let's go back and review all four. Quick one. Point number one. Consider the sea. How powerful is the sea? Point number two. The unflawed record. Every promise of God is fulfilled. Amen. He cannot lie. Point number three. You have a weapon.
That's right.
You have a sharp sword. Use it. And point number four is don't quit.
Amen.
Do not quit. In due season you shall reap. Mm-hmm. If you faint not. Galatians 6. Mm-hmm. If you faint not. You know, a lot of times, this is something about the harvest I just want to remind you of. Jesus talking about harvest and talking about reaping, and many times he used this analogy. He would say, sometimes the ear, the full blade in the ear, or first the corn, then the ear, then the full blade in the ear. You remember that phrase from the King James Version? Another time he said something like this, a 30, 60, 100-fold harvest, okay? And so Jesus talks about, he knows that there's progression, there's evidence that starts to appear. And oftentimes, with regard to healing, we'll believe God will say, you know, I got this sciatic nerve down my leg, and man, I can't hardly walk. And so we believe God, we speak the promise, and we start pressing in. Well, we get 30% better. I want to encourage you in this, in the harvest. Celebrate the small triumphs.
Yes.
Hey, listen, you come up for prayer, and you walk back to your seat, and you're 30% better. Praise the Lord for the 30%.
Amen.
And you'll get your 60. Amen. Amen. And then keep pressing in and pressing in and pressing in and crushing the devil's head more and more and more with the Word of God until you break through.
That's
to 100%. Right. Don't give up till you have your harvest.
Amen.
Amen.
Yes.
If you got pain in your body, don't give up till you're pain free. The Lord gave us this phrase early on a couple years ago, and it just rhymes. I'm a songwriter, so I like things that rhyme. Pain free mobility.
Amen.
I know it's simplistic, but listen, if you got an ache, you got a pain, you got something that's holding you back from mobility, speak to that thing in the name of Jesus. Declare the word of God to it in the name of Jesus and declare, I will not give up until I have pain-free mobility in this part of my body, whatever part it is.
Amen.
And keep speaking to it, speaking to it, speaking to it. You'll get your harvest if you won't quit. Amen. Let's stand together. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Father. Oh, let's just lift our hands, saints, and just worship Him for a moment. Let's just tell Him how good He is. Let's just tell Him how thankful we are to serve a God who is faithful and true. Such a wonderful Father who gives us promises. Thank you, Father. Through your word, the incorruptible seed of the word of God, we escape the corruption, the decay, the brokenness that is in this world. Thank you, Father. We rise above it through the imperishable seed of the word of God.
Amen.
We thank you for that seed in our lives. We thank you that it germinates, that it grows, and it bears fruit to the harvest season, Lord. In the name of Jesus, I declare of this church
Amen.
And over every family represented here that we are harvesters, that we do not faint.
Amen.
Lord, we know that in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And we are not those who faint, Lord. We press through to the harvest, for you are good.
Amen.
You are good.
Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
You are good. Good. Oh, yes, you are good. Come on, tell him today. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh, you are good. Good. Oh. We praise you, Father, for your goodness in our lives. Thank you for the harvest. Oh, it's sweet. Desire fulfilled is sweet to the soul. We receive it in Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah.